Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Good to see everyone here. Thank you for staying for class. That shows who you want to serve. Any visitors, we're also welcome to. Glad you're here and hope to get to know you better as well. I'm David Hester and this is Tom McClurg. And we are excited to be able to lead the evangelism class this quarter. What a great kickoff we had last weekend of the evangelism seminar, and I'm excited that that's not just a one time and done and on to the next thing, but like Alan said, this is setting a new course for the church at West Huntsville for us to be able to try to get more people on the boat with us to get us safely to the other side. But Ty and I will take turns each week in leading the class. So next week, Ty will be up. But we love and appreciate each one of you. A while back, I told Paul that I realized more and more my passion in life is evangelism. And I can tell you the moment that changed for me. It was several years ago, and I participated in an evangelism seminar over a three-day weekend. Does that sound familiar? But it motivated me like I had never been motivated before. And it equipped me with an easy way to share the gospel. And so for the first time, I was like, hey, I can evangelize. I want to evangelize, and I'm expected to evangelize. And that is our goal for this class, this quarter, that we can all say, I can do it, I want to do it, and I'm expected to do it. And many do a great job of evangelizing here already, and thank you for that. Was the slide coming up? Okay. We're working on getting the PowerPoint up. I'll go ahead and continue. So what do we want to accomplish in this class? What is our goal? We have three primary goals. The first one is we want to stir each other up to be more evangelistic. From whatever point we currently are at, we want to do more. Our second goal is we want to learn how to bring up spiritual things to other people. And then our third goal is we want to learn how to offer to present the gospel to people. And we may not always be able to present it to them, but we'd like to at least learn how to offer to present it. Which we know that is our ultimate goal. And Lord willing, we'll be able to get through this class and be able to share the gospel with as many souls as possible before it's too late. And that's the sense of urgency we must have because we don't know how much time we do have. So to give credit to some of the Bible references we're going to use this quarter, some comes from a preacher in the Brotherhood called Benjamin Lee. And I like the way he said it. He says, evangelism, it's not rocket science. There's simple ways to reach the lost by understanding the biblical why and how. And so that's what we hope to accomplish this quarter. And we also pulled some Bible references from Hearts on Fire and Natural Evangelism. So the reference of this subject is perfect for us living here in this Rocket City. You know, the largest tourist attraction in this entire state of Alabama is the Space and Rocket Center. And so, if it gets the PowerPoint up, I have a visual of it. But may that visual of when we do see the Space and Rocket Center remind us about evangelism, and that evangelism is not rocket science. So being evangelistic is one of the most important things we can do in life. Just like they had mentioned earlier, one mission. And why? It's because nothing matters more than someone's soul. And in this class, that is why it is so important. And this class will be a little different than a normal class in that action will be requested outside of the classroom. In the educational world, it's known as field work. So our classroom is where we have our training, and we want to put that into practice out in the field or in the world. And not only will we stir each other up to be more evangelistic, but we will also be reminded of what our purpose in life is. You know, why are we even here? The heart of getting us to evangelize is knowing our purpose in life. And not only knowing our purpose, but living our purpose. All right, slides. Okay. Backwards, forwards. Okay. There's the visual of the Space Center. Okay, so why? Why should we evangelize? And we'll be talking about more of the details as we go through the quarter, but just to hit a few of the primaries, the bottom line is love. The love we have for other souls. You know, we sing the song, love one another. And Jesus tells us, or he commands us, in John 15, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So if we love someone, we're going to have their best interest in mind. Another reason why we should evangelize is urgency. We are excited because we only have a few more days to labor before we take our heavenly flight to our eternal home. But we must have that urgency because we don't know when that flight's going to leave. Another reason why we should evangelize is this earthly life is not why we're here. We're in this earthly life in preparation for our eternal life. Another reason is this is my Father's world. He created me. I'm His. He is mine. He is our master that we serve, and he has told us to evangelize. So what other reason do we need? And then the next reason is there's coming a time when time won't matter anymore. So again, it goes back to urgency. So when we think about all of these thoughts, that really puts this life in perspective, doesn't it? You know, about what really matters and helping us to overcome whatever challenges we may have to share the gospel or bring up spiritual things. And with evangelism, it's important we reflect on our own spiritual life because we want to make sure we're always growing closer to God. And so, where are you at today compared to 1 year ago? You know, would you say that you're about the same in spiritual closeness to God, closer or further away? Personally, when I reflect on my spiritual life in regards to evangelism, I didn't evangelize someone or share the gospel until I was 20, and that was with my wife when she obeyed the gospel. And then it'd be another 20 years, and that was with my daughter when she obeyed the gospel. So just the two people in my immediate family for over 40 years, you know, looking back, I could have did so much more effort to share the gospel with all these other people around me. And you say, well, why didn't you, David? It's because I just didn't bother. You know, I did what was convenient for me. I did what I wanted to. I did what was comfortable. But all of them souls that I came in contact with in my different phases of life, you know, I think about through the youth group, college camps, all through high school, through college, and my other jobs, and I no longer have contact with a lot of them people. So this class is meant to change that. These lessons are meant to motivate us and to give us the tools so we can share it with the people around us, our friends, family, and neighbors, before it's too late. Okay, here's the class outline for this quarter. It's helpful to see where we're starting and where we're going. So today we're having the introduction to evangelism. Next week, Ty will be talking about there are no excuses. And then while we struggle with evangelism, it costs us something. How to start the conversation. Not all will be converted. Being effective with visitors. Talking and studying with family. Sharing the gospel at work. Intentional with neighbors. Some easy Bible study techniques. And rejoice when one repents. So this will be a great quarter. Rocket science is hard. Evangelism is not. You know, we can all be successful. Successful evangelism does not require having a college degree or a high school degree. If you are a Christian, you already know all you need to know. Successful evangelism does not require being fluent in Greek and or Hebrew. I tried studying the Greek course on the World Bible School, and I couldn't get very far through it. Successful evangelism does not require knowing how to answer every Bible question someone may ask. You know, I don't know everything, but I can find out. Successful evangelism does not require that you're an extrovert. If you know somebody, you can evangelize somebody. Successful evangelism does not require that you have a lot of extra time to present the gospel. You know, it can be presented in one sitting. Successful evangelism does not require that you live in a certain part of the country to be successful. Many people here around us in our backyard in Huntsville, Alabama, do not know the purpose of their life. Successful evangelism does not require being a Christian for a long period of time. Again, if you're a Christian, you already know all you need to know. But at times, we can allow excuses to get in our way. And I know I have did this plenty of times. But when it comes to reaching the lost, there is no excuses. We can all be successful. So for this quarter, we will be talking about God's greatest work He has asked us to do of reaching the lost. And we'll discuss, like I said, the tools and motivation to do this. As an introduction to evangelism, our source will be the Bible. Jesus Himself gave us many examples of how to evangelize. And the big example we're going to look at is John 4. Does that sound familiar? Glenn and I didn't talk with each other about what we was scripture passage we're going to be using. So, but it's kind of like the Gospels. You know, we have four different Gospels and four different viewpoints. So we're going to look at some of the same scriptures and analyze it, but it's going to be coming from a little different viewpoint. So John 4, I have the passage up here on the screen if you just want to follow along. We'll read a couple verses and then take the lessons from it. Maybe I'll read through the verses a little faster since we've already read this. And he had to pass through Samaria, so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So two big lessons we can see from this is Jesus shows that we can evangelize anywhere. You know, here he was out of town. And often we think, well, if we go out of town or not in the area that we go to church, we're like, well, where we attend church is not there, so we're not going to bother, you know, trying to evangelize or say anything. Yet when we go out to see family or on vacation, there's always opportunities to evangelize, as Jesus shows us here. In the next lesson, he shows us that we can evangelize any time. Like we talked about, here he is tired and wearied, and often we can let that become an excuse for us. You know, if we've worked all day or did this or that and just don't feel like it, Jesus shows us that we can evangelize any time, even if we are tired or it's not the perfect situation. This was about the sixth hour, so it was around lunchtime. Okay, next couple verses. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria, for Jews have no dealings with Samaritans?" So what can we learn from these few verses? There's a lot when we analyze it. The first one, Jesus shows us that we can evangelize anyone. So that takes care of it all. We know it can be anywhere, anytime, and anyone. But this was a stranger. You know, this was the first time he had met her. It's not like this was his family or friends. And this was the first time that she had met him. And he still evangelized with her as far as bringing up the spiritual things. Number two, Jesus being a Jew speaking to Samaritans. You know, Jesus shows that we can speak to different nationalities, different personalities than us. Jesus gently brushed aside her preconceived notions that she had of him and gained her confidence and revealed to her how she could be saved. And just to share a personal example of this getting preconceived notions with people, My older brother Paul, some of y'all know, he was on the UH campus. He was advertising for a Devo that was going to be having that night. So he was handing out the flyers to people and posting them up. And toward the end, there was one guy across the sidewalk. And he started to go to him, but then he decided not to. He had a really long hair, and just he thought there would just not bother going over there. And so he didn't. And then at the Devo that night, you know, he's in the classroom, and guess who came through the door? It gives me a chill every time I talk about that. But he put his head down, and he knew what he had did, and, you know, said he would never do that again. As far as prejudge who we think needs to hear the gospel, because everybody has a soul. Next lesson. Jesus shows us he was where people was. You know, he was kind of like at the watering hole. And we have to be around where people are. This is why Jesus wants us to be in the world. You know, we can't be all Christians in a secluded Christian camp. We have to be out where the people are. Next lesson, and this is very important. Jesus spoke up first and initiated the conversation. You know, it's amazing to me how many people will not even look at you in the eye. It's like at the grocery store, walking down the grocery aisle. Even if it's narrow, even if you have to turn sideways to get through, most people just don't interact or acknowledge if they don't know you. They're not going to look at you. Growing up in the country, when we passed each other on the road, we would, you know, wave to each other. And when I moved to Huntsville, out of habit, I still continue to do that. And Paula was like, "Do you know them people?" And I was like, "No." And eventually, as you know, people don't typically wave at you, I stopped waving. But the point is, we can't wait for people to talk to us. We have to initiate the conversation and talk to them first. The next lesson, Jesus was aware of his surroundings. And this was something Paul had mentioned. You know, with all the evangelism focus, for us to be more of aware of our surroundings and the souls around us. You know, he could have kept his head down, looking at his phone, like so many do. And this is something we can also practice in the church. You know, we're all brothers and sisters with each other. And if we're in close proximity with people or someone, we should acknowledge them. You know, even if it's a smile. Somebody smile back at me, okay? Or, you know, a head nod. Or, hey, how's it going? We're all souls, and none of us is better than anyone else. And we want to just build each other up. Jesus shows us this in Luke 8:43, when the woman touched his garment. You know, even back behind him, he was aware of that. And I know I need to improve on this as well, so I'm talking to myself on this. Then the last one, and this is important, Jesus shows us, and I may be getting into some of what Glenn will be talking about next week, but how to turn a normal conversation into a spiritual conversation. So again, he started out by saying, "Give me a drink." You know, no spiritual discussion there. But then he transitions the conversation to talking to her about living water. And again, we'll talk about more ways we'll be able to do this as we go through the quarter. All right, the next couple verses. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" So Jesus shows us here with the woman at the well, we need to be ready to have some common questions asked to us and to be prepared to give an answer. It's kind of like if you go into a meeting, and if you're leading the meeting especially, you might think about some questions that may be asked, and you want to think of the answers, how to respond, because you want it to be as effective as possible. There's two big responses a lot of times we get from other people when we bring up spiritual things. And I've dealt with both of these. The first one is they may respond by saying, "Well, I already attend church somewhere else." And at the time, initially, I didn't respond very good to that. But now I've learned better how to respond. Another common thing people say is, "Well, I'm already a Christian." And most people around us claim to be Christians. They believe they're a Christian. They're just not a biblical Christian. And these are the ones that we need to also be having these presentations with. So just to have it in your back pocket for when them two things do come up, the one good thing to say to that is, well, that is great. You're going to love to hear this. You know, so it doesn't just leave it in dead in the water. It can continue. But the gospel is simple. The denominational world has just watered the gospel down so much that they say all you have to do to be saved is believe. And that's it, nothing else. So most people just haven't heard the gospel in the Bible. Okay, the next few verses. This is later in the chapter. Jesus is talking to his disciples about how we can learn to evangelize more. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." So we can learn a lot from this passage when we unpack the basic questions of who, what, when, where, why. Jesus tells us several points we can learn. I have a few more I want to mention that's not on the slide as well. He tells us the who. Who do we serve? Jesus says his food, or what sustains him in life, is to do the will of his Father. So that's our reason. That's also what should sustain us, is to do our Father's will, the one who created us. This passage tells us the what. Jesus says, "I'm here on earth to accomplish what? My Father's work." And that is our purpose in life. To accomplish our Father's work of telling others the good news of how they can be saved. The where. Jesus says, "Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes, the harvest is ready." You know, there are lost souls all around us. He tells us the when. "Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, they are white for harvest now." You know, today, not a few months from now, or next year, or 20 years from now. He tells us the how. "For in this case, the saying is true, one sows and another reaps." It's like it's been mentioned, we all have a part we can play. It's a team effort, and we'll be discussing this more as well as we go. And then he tells us the result. Jesus says, "Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together." One of the greatest experiences is seeing someone saved by the blood of Jesus. We got to see that last week with Dylan. You know, that never gets old and is the reason that we have this mission. But it says there's great joy that will come when we do the work of God. Not only will the lost be saved, but it tells us that the sowers will reap what we've sown. So that helps us to remember to continue to be optimistic about evangelizing. Even if we try to present the gospel, or we try to talk with someone, even if there's no results come from it, that's a win. Our goal is to try to do the evangelizing, that God is at work here too. God gives the increase. Where is it? 11. Let's run through this real fast for time's sake. But there's about a dozen different types of personal evangelism that we can do. Biological, it's our family, extended family, friendship, you know, acquaintances, neighbors, visitor evangelism, visitors that come here at church, career and hobby evangelism, people have the same interest. This can also remind us of places we might can get some contacts. Social media, as far as Facebook, public study, Starbucks, campus evangelism on college, correspondence, literature, event, temple evangelism. We see that example Jesus and apostles did back then, which would be like denomination today, denominations. Code approach, door knocking, and street. But you can see the easier evangelism is at the top of the list. You know, the people that we already know and they know us, and that's where we'd like to start with, they trust us more. These aren't complete strangers. So why we have to evangelize is emphasized again in Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." May every time we see the cotton fields here in Alabama, we be reminded that the harvest is ready and the laborers are few. Now, we only have this short life on this side of heaven to be able to make a difference in someone's eternal destiny. I have a Bible student with the WE program. He lives outside of Hong Kong, China, and he's been my student for 4 years. We talk almost every week. He's 27 years old. He's single. He has an 18-year-old sister. He lives with his family on a farm. And none of his family or friends believe in God. And through these studies, he now believes in God. And he has repented from the ways he was doing. He's confessed God. And he believes in God. And he told me maybe one day when he gets a chance, he will be baptized. And I said, like, what? When you get a chance, you know, baptism is urgent. This is top priority. That's something I would say maybe one day if I get a chance, I'll organize the garage and attic. You know, not get baptized.
Is there anybody around to actually baptize them?
That's a good question. WE has a good network of contacts and missionaries, and so we can reach out to somebody that's close to over there in China and connect them with him. It is more difficult, you know, obviously there's not probably a good established church there, so it does make it hard for a new convert, but we do have contacts that can help with that. So it's about broadcasting the seed, searching for the one lost soul. We know we have more successful results with the people we actually know, but Jesus shows us we can have results with strangers as well. The Lord gives us the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15. The religious people grumbled, "Why is Jesus talking to sinners?" know, they are not good people. And Jesus said, what if you have 100 sheep and lost one? You're going to leave the 99 and go after that one lost until you find it. And when he has found it, you will rejoice. There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. And again, the parable of the lost coin. Jesus emphasizes this again to us in another way. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the coin I've lost. So just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So we have to remember, one soul is a big deal. We're here with not the 99 that's already been found. I once was lost, but now I'm found. It's that one lost soul that is a big deal. Just one person that we need to be focusing on. I'll skip the homework. I have a short, powerful poem. And remember our homework about our contacts. It's called Betrayed. And this poem, you may have heard it before, it's about someone that did not share the gospel with their friend. Friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. On earth, I walked with you day by day. And never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell his story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Yes, I know he had made the earth, but knew not of that second birth. And now I sit this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. I'll learn now, but it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die, and knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and trusted you through joy and strife. And yet, on coming to this end, I cannot call you my friend. So that's a powerful image of the consequences of us not sharing the gospel with someone, family or friend, neighbor, whoever. And we don't want our contacts to be able to say this about us in the end. This lost soul in this poem is saying, friend, by not sharing the gospel with me, you essentially was the one that should have just kicked me off the cliff into outer darkness, just as the picture shows. Bottom line is to at least try. No, every attempt will not produce results. But every result happens because it was attempted. And the odds are not in our favor, but the odds are zero with no action. All right, last couple minutes. This is a great chart that puts a visual on what we're talking about. Which scale will rule our life in sharing the gospel? The scale on the left, this person chooses God to win out over fear. So yeah, they have a healthy amount of fear, but they have more love for God, and the scale tips in favor to God, and the gospel will be shared. Or something spiritual brought up, or someone invited to church will happen. And then the scale on the right, this person chooses to have more fear than love for God. And he does love God and wants to serve God and do what's right, but he has more fear than for God. So the scales tilt in the fear's favor, and the gospel will not be shared. Something spiritual will not be brought up. They won't be invited to church. The gospel will be silenced. So as the song says, this is my Father's world. You know, we can hold our head high and confident, knowing that the one who created us is on our side. You know, I'm his, he is mine. It's like, where's Tim? All right, well, we'll stop there. But I appreciate your attention, and next week you'll get to hear Ty. Thank you.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.